All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to Revelation. Hold on. 16. Yeah, 16. All right, last week we began the chapter and we looked at the fact that this chapter discusses the final set, the final seven judgments that God is going to pour out upon the earth. We've already seen the seal judgments. They started in chapter 6, and then we saw the trumpet judgments. And those trumpet judgments were quite serious in nature. And so all of that is still going strong. The earth is just absolutely being devastated by all the different judgments that God has turned loose upon mankind and upon the earth. And so last week we started into the last series, what are called the vial judgments. A vial is a bowl, all right? And there were many bowls that were used in the tabernacle and in the temple. They kept the olive oil in bowls. They used bowls to put incense in. They used bowls for just about everything. And so the Jews would have been very familiar with the idea of a bowl. And so the last series is where God calls seven angels to come, and those seven angels will each have a vial, and that they will dump their judgment upon the earth and upon mankind. Now, we didn't get real far last week, but we did get down, I think, to verse 5 and 6. So, if you will see, we have the first one in verse 2, and that was a noisome and grievous sore that fell upon all those who had received the mark of the beast. All right, so if you have accepted the mark of the beast, this sore is inflicted upon you for rejecting the Lord and for accepting the false Messiah. You reject, these people will reject the true Messiah, the real Messiah, and they will accept the false Messiah. And so a grievous sore comes upon these people. Now there are a lot of folks who think that the sore is going to be upon whichever part of their anatomy that they took the mark of the beast. Will it be on the forehead or on the back of the hand? So wherever a lot of people feel that that's where this grievous and noisome sore is going to show itself. The word that we see here in this verse is it means that word grievous. It means painful, painful. That's the Greek word means painful right there. And so you can imagine, I don't know if you've ever had a boil, or if you've ever had a canker sore in your mouth, something like that. Well, if you have, you know how aggravating that is and how painful that can be. And, I would say you multiply that by 1,000, and that's what you're going to get with vial number one. All right, then there was the second angel, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. Now, just think about that. Upon the sea, all of the sea is going to be contaminated, and the water of the sea is going to become blood. Now, back in chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, one-third of the sea became blood, and one-third of the creatures living in the sea died. And now that that's the seas and the oceans, all right? So this is all of the salt water that is on the planet. And now, however, all of the sea will become as blood, and every living creature in the sea will perish. Can you imagine the stench of that? It is not going to be a pleasant sight, that's for sure. All right, then the third bowl, the third vial, was the contamination of all the fresh water. This is where we get our drinking water. And the poisoning of the oceans would not, in and of itself, destroy the human water supply. But if you remember, the Bible tells us that the two witnesses in chapter 11 and verse 6 caused the rain to cease for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So the point is, the conditions upon the earth are already dire. It's already bad. And then you put on top of that this vial that is poured out, and the fresh water supply gets turned into blood. And the amazing thing is, evidently, it is going to still be digestible. In other words, you'll be able to drink it. It won't kill you, you're gonna rebel against that, I'm sure, for as long as you can hold out. But when you get thirsty, you'll do strange things, won't you? Even become a vampire, you know. You'll drink blood contaminated water if that's what it takes to keep alive. And so you say, well, I'd never do that. Well, it sure beats dying, I'll say that for it. And I can imagine that it will be very difficult, and human survival will definitely become much more difficult when this happens. Now, the message then is in verse 5, 6, and 7. And I want you to look at verse 5. We'll begin reading there, and you follow along as I read. In verse 5, it says, "And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." They deserve what they're getting, in other words. And I heard another, verse 7, out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Now, what is going on here in verse 5, 6, and 7? Well, basically, the angel that is in charge of the water that oversees the waters, the fresh waters of this world, evidently the angel hears or comes out and speaks, and John hears a testimony that he just felt like he really needed to share with us. And that's what's in verse 5, 6, and 7. John heard this testimony, and it was a testimony that, as far as John was concerned, needs to be burned into the heart of every person. And that testimony is that God is a righteous God. He will judge unrighteousness in a holy, holy, that's with a W, W-H-O-L-L-E-Y, a holy, righteous way. In other words, completely righteous. His judgment will be complete. It will be totally in a righteous way. And this angel recognizes the poetic justice of God in turning the rivers and the fountains of the deep into blood. The beast and his followers have shed the blood of a multitude. The Bible says a number which no man could number. Now that's a lot of people. A number which no man could number are going to be martyred by the Antichrist and the beast and his henchmen have now shed the blood of the martyrs, and now they are given blood to drink. They've shed blood, and now God says, let's see how you like blood. You seem to like it an awful lot. Well, let's just see how much you do like it. And God is going to give them blood for water. They'll have blood to drink. And so that's what this angel is basically saying. He is stepping out and he is saying, Lord, you are just in this judgment. You are just in what you're doing. These people are getting this judgment, but it's because they deserve this judgment. Now, let's take our Bible for just a moment and look over at chapter 13 for just a moment. Go back over to chapter 13. And if you will, let's just look at a couple of verses here. Let's start with verse 8. Let's start with verse 8. All right, look at verse 8. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right, now look at this next verse. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now this is real important now. In other words, it's like, hey, if you got any sense, you're going to listen to this. You're going to follow. You're going to get this. All right. Now, here is what we are to understand. Look at verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. You remember when Peter grabbed the sword of Malchus in the garden and trying to defend his friend, his Savior. And we are told that Peter took that sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. He cut off Malchus's ear, one of the guards. And now don't think for a minute that Peter was that good of a swordsman, all right? That he could just pinpoint where he wanted that sword to do its work. No, I think he was trying to divide Malchus into two equal parts. That's my personal feeling on that. And I think what happened was that Malchus ducked and the sword just caught his ear, just enough to take his ear off. And then the Lord Jesus reached down, picked up Malchus's ear, and told Peter to put the sword away. He said, if you live by the sword, you will. And here we are now. They're living by the sword. And now they're going to die by the sword. And this was prophesied back a few chapters in the parenthetical chapters. John was telling us, this is what's coming. This is what's coming. And now in chapter 16 and in verse 5, 6, and 7, this is where we are. This is where we are. God is getting vengeance. Hold your place here for just a moment and go back to the book of Romans for just a moment. Let me read you a verse from the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans 12. It's a wonderful chapter. Romans 12. All right, if you will look down, please, at verse, let's go to 9. I want to end up in 18, but I don't want to jump in, halfway, or 19, I'm sorry. I don't want to jump in halfway. So let's start at 9, all right? Let love be without dissimulation. Now, you know what that is? That's hypocrisy, all right? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In other words, don't be selfish. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Man, it's hard, isn't it? Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense, watch this now, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, all right, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, you'll notice the wording there. If it is possible. All right? Now, that must mean that there are some birds you're just not going to be able to live at peace with them. Okay? Lisa Shutt made me a cup. And it says, I love God, but some of his children are about to drive me up the wall. That's cute, isn't it? Yeah, that's cute. I've said forever that church would be great if it wasn't for Christians, don't you think? All right, but look at verse 19, all right? So this is our responsibility now. Live peaceably as much as you can with all men. Now look at verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. All right? This, I'll get even. Forget that. You don't need to live by that. Remember, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. All right? So if it be possible, then he said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, don't let wrath give place to you. All right? Don't let it grab a hold of you and not turn you loose. You turn it loose. Okay? But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written. It is written. And it is written in Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. And here's what it says. It says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Christian. That's not what it says, is it? No, I will repay, saith the Lord. All right? It is not your job or my job to get vengeance. It's God's job. We let God fight the battles for us. All right? So don't say, I'm going to get even. No. You let the Lord take care of it. And that's what we're seeing over here in chapter 16. You see, the people of God have been mistreated, and they have been lied about, and they have been persecuted, and they have been slaughtered by the world and by the enemies of God, by those that hate the Bible and hate Jesus and hate God the Father. And now the Lord's got us up in heaven with him, all right? So we're not in the picture anymore, okay? And those who do get saved, well, the Antichrist just turns around and lobs their heads off. They're now dying by the truckload. And so finally, the vial is poured out. And when it is, God gives them blood to drink. He said, you shed blood. Now just see how much you really like it, all right? If you like it as much as you say you do, you want to just kill every Christian you can get your hands on, well, we'll just see how much you like it. And he gives them blood to drink. And so this angel steps out, and this angel says, thou art righteous, O Lord, you're righteous. Notice, O Lord, which art and washed and shall be. This is the Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about. This is God the Son, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. So it goes, he's taken you from the middle of the tribulation period all the way back to the first martyr for the cause of Christ. The first one. All the way back into the Old Testament. All the way back to when they took the prophets of God and stoned them against a wall, where they killed them with the sword, where they starved them to death in a prison cell somewhere. And God says, my turn. Now you're going to pay. Now you're going to pay. All right? Now look at verse 7. This is neat. Now watch this. In verse 7, there is a cry. Now let's read it carefully, all right? Now I want you to think about every word that you're reading here, okay? In verse 7, John says, and I, John, heard, what's the next word? Another. He heard another. What, another what? A lot of people say, oh, he heard another angel. I don't think so. Bless you. Oh, he heard the Lord. Nope, it's not the Lord. Look carefully at it. And I heard another, what's the next word? Out. In other words, look here. John said, I heard another speak. I heard another voice. And it came out of the altar. Folks, do you remember where all of these martyred saints' souls went? Exactly. They went under the altar. And now John says that the angel, verse 5, of the waters spoke. He heard what he had to say, and he said, amen. Amen. You are worthy. You should do this. They deserve it. And then he said, I heard another. And that another, I think, are the souls that are crying under the altar. Remember their cry? How long, O Lord? How long until you get vengeance, until you get us our glorified bodies? How long until you make us like you? And that's what I think they are. Some say, some commentators, and I got dozens of commentaries on Revelation, and I probably read all of them 10 times. And some of the commentators, they believe that this is an angel speaking. Then there are some of them, they'll say that this is the brazen altar itself that is speaking. But I can't go along with it. And the reason I can't is because John just clearly says that he heard another. He heard another. Go back to chapter 6 for just a moment. Revelation chapter 6, all right, and look at verse 9. Chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw what? Under the altar, the souls of them, not their bodies, all right? Their bodies were left on probably in a mass grave somewhere, or thrown in a fire, or buried in a pine box. All right, who knows? But we know where their souls were. All right, may not know where the bodies are, but we know where the souls are. And it says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? See, they know the same thing that the angel in verse 5 and 6 of our text chapter knows. They know the same thing, and they are crying out the same thing, and they want to know how long you're faithful and true, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on them that took the blood that dwell on the earth. You see that? That's awesome, isn't it? Just comparing scripture with scripture. All right, so he said, and the souls, what do they say? They say, Lord, you're true and righteous. Your judgments are, they're spot on. Man, your judgments are right on. You're not going to hear any complaining out of us, Lord. No, we're with you here. We're with you. Go at it. Go at it. All right? So they're crying. What are they crying for? Vengeance. They're crying for vengeance against the beast and against his cohorts for the martyrdom that they have had to endure. And folks, I just think that these souls that were under the altar, it's almost like when they heard the angel of the waters speak and tell the Lord, amen, you're right, you're true, you're faithful. They just couldn't contain themselves, and they had to throw their two cents in. And so they speak up loudly so John could hear them from under the altar. And they said, amen, to what God was, to what the Lord was doing. Yeah. Amen. Yes. That's neat, isn't it? Yes. All right. All right. Now let's get going into the next one here. All right, go back to chapter 16 for just a moment. And let me read a couple of verses starting with verse 8. All right, verse 8 says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Uh-oh. It's going to get serious now, folks. Going to get serious. Poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now, I just want to say to you that this is real global warming right here. All right? This is the real deal. All right? This is not so we can go to electric cars and do away with fossil fuels. No, this is the real global warming. It's coming. All right. The devil's just getting everything ready, isn't he? Mm-mm-mm. And verse 9, and men were scorched, burned with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God. Now that's smart, isn't it? I mean, they know that God's doing this because for 3.5 to 4 years now, they have all been enduring all the seal judgments and all the trumpet judgments. And now you're into the fourth bowl judgment. Wow. They know God's at work. They know God is judging them and judging mankind. And so they blaspheme rather than repent. They blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Unbelievable. But that's sinful man. Yes. You know? I heard or read or saw or dreamed. I don't know how I got it. But I heard somebody say the other day that a progressive liberal could look the facts right straight in the eye and then do the opposite of what the facts said. Or believe the opposite of what the facts said. That's our world today. That's our world today. It's amazing, isn't it? All right, so we have the fourth vial. And the fourth vial is the scorching sun. This vial affects the sun, and the result of this judgment would be absolutely devastating. You know, we see something over and over and over the same way, day after day after day after day, month after month, year after year, over a lifetime. And you know, it doesn't take us long before we just basically take whatever it is for granted. All right, let me give you a for instance. The sunrise. All right, the sunrise. We watch it rise in the come up in the east. We watch it go across the sky, and we watch it set in the west. Every day, same routine every day. We pay attention to the weather forecast, so we know how to prepare for tomorrow. Do we take an umbrella? Do we take an overcoat? What do we do? So we watch the news, all right? And then we check the temperature. We want to know what the temperature is going to be, the high and the low, all right? And all this stuff, and we see these patterns. We see it get cold in the winter. We see it warm up in the spring, except for this spring. And then we see it get hot in the summer, and hopefully it'll get hot this summer. And then we see it cool off in the fall, and then we see winter come again. All right? And it's been like that ever since I've been around. How about you? Raise your hand. It's been that way since you've been. Yeah. Yeah. But now, here, all of a sudden, it changes. Now, all of a sudden, it changes. I mean, you see something the same way every day, and you see it do the same thing every day. You see it behave in the same manner every day, and it doesn't take you long before you take it for granted. And though the sun is not part of the earth, the sun serves the earth. It serves the earth. We have to have the sun. We have to have it. I mean, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, 14 and 15 that the sun was created for light and to be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And all the earth's physical and biological practices and processes derive their energy ultimately from the sun. All right, now, what happens? Well, the ordinary becomes the unordinary. All of a sudden, that which has been a friend to man and to the earth now becomes an enemy. And it gets hot. The sun, just like our Savior, the Lord Jesus, whom the sun symbolizes as the light of the world, John 8:12, can be an enemy as well as can be a servant. It can both quicken and it can slay with enormous power. And this angel will turn up the heat, and its piercing rays will scorch men. And the King James translators put a little one outside the word scorched, and I go over in the middle, and they said, or burned. Burned. You ever been sunburned? We all have, haven't we? Well, I wish I knew then what I know now. I used to go play golf and come back look like I was on fire. And now I'm paying for it. All right, so the earth is going to burn the inhabitants of the earth. Aren't you glad you're going to get raptured out over here? Oh, man, it's getting tense now, isn't it? All right, now let's go back. Go to the last book of the Old Testament. And The great Italian prophet, yes, Malachi. The last book of the Old Testament. And actually the last chapter of the Old Testament. All right, look at Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1. All right, everybody got it? Verse 1 says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud," that's those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the Lord said in the book of Proverbs that pride is one of the things that he hates? He just hates it. Because that pride can keep you away from the Lord, keep you from humbling yourself and accepting Christ as your Savior quicker than anything. All right, so "for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Mercy. That sounds serious, does it not? But that's what's coming. And Malachi 4:1 is talking about the exact same thing that Revelation 16, 8, and 9 is speaking about. All right, go on back in your Bible now to the book of Isaiah. Let me have you turn to Isaiah and go to Isaiah chapter 30 specifically. Isaiah 30. All right, where did I read that? There it is, verse 26. Isaiah 30. 26. Isaiah is talking about the coming battle, the coming Armageddon, and he says as it approaches, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun." Now, why would that be? Well, he explains it, "And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold." So if you crank up the sun seven times brighter than it is right now, when that thing bounces off the moon at night, it's going to look like the sun up there. Sevenfold, he's going to turn up the sun as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. So in other words, just before Armageddon is when this last bowl or this fourth bowl is going to be poured out. When the Lord is protecting his own over in Petra, in Jordan, in those mountains. Only one way in. One way in, that's it. How many of you have been to Petra with us? Yeah, many of you have, okay. Yep, one way in. And I'll guarantee you, the Lord's going to, he's going to be standing there eyeballing them just like he did with Pharaoh when Moses went down to cross the Red Sea. All right? Everybody got all that? Now, folks, this burning heat is bad enough. But don't forget, this plague is accompanied with all the other previous vials, the ulcerous sores, the no fresh water, dead sea creatures, all the freshwater creatures dead. I mean, the whole situation is going to be traumatic and maddening. Imagine the effect that this will have upon Antarctica. And upon the Arctic. And upon Greenland and Iceland. And upon the northern part of Norway and Sweden and Finland. Just imagine. Imagine how all this is going to impact. Man, they're really going to be screaming global warming then. Because it will be global warming then. They're going to find out what global warming is. I mean, it's just like the other. You know, God says, you wanted blood? Well, let me give it to you to drink and just see how well you like it. Oh, you wanted global warming? Well, just let me show you what global warming's all about. Yeah. It's coming, folks. I'm glad I'm on the winning side, aren't you? Amen. All right. Well, there's one more. Just let me say one more thing. Look at verse 9, 16:9. It says, And they blasphemed God. They repented not. They blasphemed the name of God. I just don't understand people. I don't understand them at all. But that's what they'll do. They'll blaspheme God. Sad, isn't it? All right. Well, all right, go to Job real quick. One more verse. Job. That's not a book telling you how to get a place to work. All right, go to 38. Job 38. I'll just read it, won't comment. 38, verse 22. Yeah, 22. It says, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail? Which I have, what? Reserved. Where's it reserved? In all those glaciers up there. In the north and in the extreme south. That's where it's reserved. Which I have reserved against the time of trouble. What trouble? Tribulation. Against the day of battle and war. So during the tribulation period, just before the battle and the war, there's going to be a real global warming. That's just awesome, isn't it? God says, it's all up there frozen for a reason, and I'm going to show them when the time comes. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for loving us and thank you for the Bible. We are so thankful that we can open your precious word, and we can see precious truths that will sustain us and help us and give us the encouragement to trust you and to follow you no matter what. So, Lord, we ask you to bless this to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.